Okay, tonight our subject, our title is Getting Out of Our Comfort Zone into God's Comfort Zone. And we had a planning meeting for Alpha. And I'm just going to ask somebody just to come up and share something with us just as we start. I'm going to ask Anne if she'll come up and just share something, because she just shared a little bit of a story and I thought that'll really fit in well to tonight. So it's quite funny. Aren't you, Anne? She says, what did you say to me just now down there? She said, I might be 5 minutes, but if I'm more, just leave me to it, and then we'll just close in prayer right at end. So I know you're a bit nervous, but I'll tell you, once she gets going, she's away. She's gone. So, but I think this is quite special, what she's going to share.
The last time I stood up here, I spoke about hearing for Gary Spencer. God would find you in your pit. And I knew then that God had found me in that pit, and that he was going to lift me out, and he brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. And after that, I decided that I'm just going to go and love people. I'm not going to stay in this dark place. I'm just going to go and love people. And I went down to the Salvation Army, and I did some volunteer work, and part of it, I was asked if I would be a safeguarder, and that's helping people that's either been in prison or avoiding prison. And I thought, oh yes. But it was okay for me to think, well, I can love this person. But when I really was thought about it, I thought, well, I don't really care for what that person's done. I don't know if I can do this. And I thought, who am I to judge? Because God has not judged me. God loved me and showed me forgiveness. And I am going to do the same to this person. And that's what I did. I stepped out of my comfort zone and I offered this person love. And over the months as we worked together, he says, I have something for you, Anne. And he said, Lord, he gave me this. And it said, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And for me, that was a message from God to say that I had stood by my faith, I had listened to him, I had prayed about it. And I can tell you that he's blessed me so many times since I've done. So I encourage you all to step out of your comfort zone. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Anne. She was actually given that verse quite a while ago before somebody gave it to her on a pebble. A confirmation, really, that when she'd stepped out and doing something really uncomfortable, that somebody gave her that same verse on a pebble. I think that's really great. But stepping out and doing something when you feel uncomfortable, because we're very, very good, aren't we? We're creatures of habit and we like things nice and cushy and rosy. They found the secret. Anybody got that book now? Catherine, yeah, oh, there's a few. There's none left on Amazon or wherever you've ordered them all from, but there is one. So if you want to borrow that from me, you can do. I'll just leave that here. How are you finding it? It's quite challenging, isn't it? It's quite a challenging book, but it's really rich. What you're going to need tonight is you're going to need a Bible. So if you've got a Bible, that's great. If you've got it on your phone, that's even better. If you haven't got a Bible, maybe someone will just give you one. Over and over again, we read about men and women in the Bible who did great things for God. You'll notice I didn't say great men and women who did things for God, but just men and women who did things for God. Hebrews chapter 11, we all know it lists these legends of faith. Absolutely incredible people of faith, heroes of faith. And then we come to verse 34. You can flick through your Bibles as I'm speaking. You can look at these verses, because this verse, right in the middle of all the things that they've accomplished, not great men and women, but these men and women who did great things for God. Verse 34 says these words, who out of weakness became strong. And that most often you and I want to do things for God when we feel strong, when we're confident and, well, this is what I do and this is what I'm about. But often God calls us to things that he expects us to step out of our comfort zone, things that we're quite familiar with, and step into his comfort zone. And really, in God's comfort zone, there's no such thing. We're just really stepping out with him. And sometimes we wrestle with, is that really you, God? Because I don't think it is, because that means I'm really challenged and it's a bit too much. You're stretching me too far. So that's really not of you. And often God really calls us to do things in our weaknesses. I've got a friend back in Bradford, and God calls him to do things every now and again that are really kind of way beyond his capabilities. And this is what he said to me one day. I can remember writing it down. He said, I wish God had just left me alone. That's all I want him to do. I just wish he'd just leave me alone, because he always takes me out of my comfort zone. Somebody else said these words: there is an eagle in me that wants to soar, and there is a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. I'm sure that every one of us can identify with that. And because of that, because of when we read our Bible and God begins to speak to us, we don't want him to speak too much. And so in our relationship with him, we don't want to get too close, because you never know what he's going to ask us to do. And we never know what he's going to ask us to say. So we kind of don't want that real intimate, close relationship, because we're scared of what he's going to do and we're scared of what he's going to say. Last week, we looked at him. God is bringing his people out. He brought his people out of Egypt to bring them into Canaan, from slavery into God's best, a real spirit-filled life. And Ephesians chapter 5, 18 talks about be filled with the Spirit, and it means in the Greek to be continually filled or controlled by, which again is another thing that you and I can often struggle with, that God's in complete control of me. I remember an old girl in Guernsey called Vio Zan. Went to visit her quite a few times. And she said to me one day, she says, you know the problem that we have today, Pastor Pete? I says, what is it, Vi? This is what she said. She one of them ladies that she should have died when she was 50. Do you know what I mean? She was about 89 when I was talking to her in her home. She said, the problem that we're facing today is that we're saved and stuck. She said, we're not going anywhere. I says, Vi, you're 80 odd year old. She says, I know, but sometimes that's how I felt. I felt as though I've been saved and I've been stuck. So I want to just explain comfort zone, because it's made up of people, it's made up of places, it's made up of things and habits that you and I are familiar with. We like our comfort zone. We're good at comfort zone. We do comfort zones really well. But many of us get scared to move out of our comfort zone. And the big problem with the comfort zone is that in that comfort zone, we often become independent. And when we become independent, then it becomes all about us. And we become very kind of self-focused. And there's a danger then in making up our mind. Before God even speaks to us, we've already made up our mind. I won't go there and I won't do that and I don't like the climate, and we come out with all kinds of excuses, because really, we're protecting ourselves because we don't want to move out of our comfort zone. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures tonight. Exodus chapter 3. Because God begins to get our attention. And this is the way that he got his attention with Moses. We'll start at verse 1. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7, the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And then in verse 10 it says, "So now go." We've just read about, "I'm coming. I'm coming." And then he said in verse 10, "So now go. You, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Verse 14, God said to Moses, "Who am I? Who am I?" It's one of them things that you, if you're you're comfortable in your comfort zone, you can kind of see what's already coming. Oh, why did you have to look at that bush, Moses? Why did you have to go? And God has placed a massive call upon his life. He's got his attention through this burning bush. And guess what? As we've just read, God didn't ask Moses to do something that he was good at. He actually asked him to move outside of his comfort zone. You can feel Moses buckling at the knees. He wasn't comfortable at public speaking. And here's God actually using this man's weakness to speak to Pharaoh, to speak to a world leader, and actually God's going to use Moses to lead a nation. He's going to be the voice of God. And so Moses, he argued and God answered. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. "Who gave a mouth to this man? Or who makes a person mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So now go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what you must say." So God promises to be in the very place of his weakness. And that's why I read Hebrews chapter 11, "Who out of weakness were made strong." I think for me, even looking back at my own life, of my meeting with God, my language were awful. My vocabulary wasn't good. It was the weakest thing of my life. Every other word was a swear word. And I didn't care who were around. And then meeting God, God kind of takes weaknesses, doesn't he? And he uses them in a powerful way. And that's what happened here with Moses. God was moving him outside of his comfort zone. "I'm okay. I'm fine, thank you very much." Just turn over to Luke chapter 5 and verses 1. Luke chapter 5. And verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Please go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, because from now on you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Man alive. Just these words. "Jesus, we've been fishing all night. Jesus, don't you know that I've been doing this for most of my life? I'm a kind of an expert. I know that fish bite at night. I know that they feed at night." So they've just come back in the morning, and Jesus says, "Go out into the deep." And it's just these words. "Lord, at your word, I will." And this kind of changes just about everything. Am I going to look a numpty if I actually push out from shore? Are other people going to laugh at me because I'm going to obey what Jesus said? It's a strange time to go back out. We've just come back in. And now, Lord, you're asking us to go back out, away from this solid ground, away from land. You're asking us to go back out when we've just kind of come back in. I think Jesus meets us in places like this where it's just outside of our training. It's unfamiliar to us, and yet we know that if we obey him, he's really, really going to lead us on. And the Holy Spirit, he sometimes leads us into things that's just way outside of our comfort zone. And yet knowing that it's him, knowing that it's God. Can you remember, have you ever read a story about, is it Faith Like Potatoes? Can you remember that? Is it Angus Buchan? Have you ever read that story? Wow. I mean, his life was just a mess. He was an alcoholic, he was a wife beater. God got hold of him and saved him. And he just said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And God whispered to him about buying this piece of land that were contaminated. It were a laughing stock to some. But when he bought that, God did some kind of a miracle that they had a bumper crop of potatoes. They were outside of his comfort zone, but he just knew that it were God. So this to me, when I look at Peter, "At your word, I will." And listening to the very voice of God speaking to us to do something that is really stretching because it's kind of outside my comfortableness. We often do what... How can I put it? I think we often do what I'm okay with. Don't ask me to do that because I'm not going to do it. Don't ask me to say that because I'm not going to say it. Don't ask me to go over to that country because it's too cold. And I'm not going to go over there because it's too hot. We've already made our mind up. But I think when we come and we say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go?" For me, I got to a place, and I still have to go back to this over and over again, of, "Lord, I need stretching because I get comfortable." And I think that's why over the years, maybe God's just moved us around a little bit. Because we kind of get comfortable and become a bit independent. We don't really rely much upon God. I just want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some of the men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'Those who survived the exile are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire.' And when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." If you read that prayer, it's quite moving the way that God moved him. And in verse 4 of chapter 2, because he'd gone to the king said to me, "What is it that you want?" And he says, "And then I prayed to the God of heaven." Just a quick kind of a prayer up to God. But it's from verse 11 of chapter 2. It says, "I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there for 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem." This is 1,000 miles away from where he is. I think he's in Iran or Iraq. It's 1,000 miles from Jerusalem, but he's absolutely broken-hearted. And so a question that I ask myself is, Pete, what moves you? Can God move you? Do you really feel the heart of God? And I kind of want to throw that question out to us. What really moves you and I? Can God really speak his heart to us? I'd love that bit. He hadn't told anybody, and it stayed with him. Whatever God said to him, it stayed with him. He's not told anybody, but he knew that God had spoken to him. Wow. I thought, when was the last time in my own life that God moved me like that? Because it moved his whole life. He ended up doing something about it, way outside of his comfort zone. Just a few facts, just a few things. Zerubbabel was the first man to bring 50,000 of God's people back to their land. I'm talking about the two exiles. And this was a social thing. Ezra brought back 1,800 people. This was a spiritual emphasis. But Nehemiah, he brought back craftsmen. And it was more kind of practical, so we all sort of joined up together. So chapters 1 to 7 were a rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. It took 52 days. Incredible. So the first 7 chapters were all about vision and care and security. And I'm thinking, wow, what about upstairs? What about a sort of, you know, when you get onto things in your mind, and I'm thinking, what is it that we're going to build? Do we need to raise money for it, a facility? And I thought, well, first of all, it's all about vision. We need vision first before we do anything. This is what God gave to Nehemiah. He gave him incredible vision. And so for us, it's all to do with fulfilling destiny, to be obedient to God, to honor God, all about kingdom living and abundant life and unity and diversity, working in harmony, mending the broken people, restoring the lost, expressing what we believe. And this is a big thing about moving out of comfort zones, where I'm kind of cushy and I love where I am because I'm good at it, and God moves us to do things and to go places. He begins to speak to us. When I look at the external opposition that he had, Nehemiah, he was well outside his comfort zone here. He had a cushy job. He was sleeping in satin sheets. He was in the palace. He had a cushy job. And yet all of a sudden now he finds himself in a different place, and it's scary and it's vicious, and the enemy's cunning, and he was subtle and strong and discouraging, and that's just the outward. And then internal, the rich became richer, the poor got poorer. They ignored God's laws for people living together. And so Nehemiah, if you can just picture this, Nehemiah, he's got it really good. Who on earth wants to move away from that? And God begins to move within him. And here he goes, he sets out and he puts himself in a place of danger because of a burden that God has placed upon his heart. We've just read, he hasn't shared it with anybody. And God begins to move, and then some great things happen. And he faces opposition from all kinds of angles, externally and then internally. Why on earth do we want to put ourselves in that position? Why do we want to do that? It's so different when God begins to move. Listen to these one another's, 1 Thessalonians. It's a great book. We've just started it. I'm hoping to do 2 Thessalonians as well. But I was thinking about how we interact and how we are and what God expects us of church. Because I'm thinking, you know, Nehemiah, he's really under the cosh externally and internally. He's facing things. So I kind of brought it right down to myself. I brought it right down to church. Because God forbid that we would hinder or contribute internally to what God is actually doing. So here's the one another's. We look after one another. We love one another. We honour one another. We are patient with one another. Accept one another. Submit to one another. Clothe yourself in humility. To greet one another. To agree with each other. To carry each other's burdens. And it goes on and on and on. I think there's about 26 of them. And really, this is what God wants you and I to be. This is how he wants us to live. And I'm looking at Nehemiah and I'm looking at all the battles that he's facing within his own people and the battles that he's facing as well outside. And I read this quote and it says, "Restored walls won't make any difference if hearts and not renewed." Now, to me, I find that really moving. We can do so much, but if our hearts are not renewed, all it is just external things changing, but we've not changed within because we're kind of safe and we like safety. But every time you read about Jesus' words, he is stretching people. He is moving people. He's saying, "I'm not just here in your comfort zone, but I'm also here and I'm also gone before you. I've prepared the way. So come on, let's get moving." You'll find that in them 3 years with the disciples. Mind-blowing stuff. I mean, talking about stretching their mind and stretching their heart and stretching their faith. I think he stretched just about everything. And then you're looking at chapters 8 to 13 of Nehemiah. Because now I'm looking at renewing. The renewing of the people. God is bringing them all together. So again, when you look at Nehemiah, he's being stretched. He's outside his comfort zone. He wants God's will to be done. And now he knows that the people need renewing. And renewing is all about responding to Scripture. So that's why right at the beginning, Hebrews chapter 11, who out of weakness were made strong, how do you and I become strong? We looked at this morning in our leaders' meeting. It's about the Word of God and responding to that. When God speaks to us, "Peter, at your word, I will. I'll do it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm going to obey you, Lord, because I know that your word is true and it's right." And sometimes God personalizes things. He really, really speaks to us. So here we've got the book of the law. Ezra comes and he reads it for 6 hours. And the people listened with open ears for 6 hours. They listened attentively and then all the people stood up. And it says, "And Ezra praised God and the people lifted up their hands and they bowed in worship." And it says God's words was read and then responded to. And verse 18 says renewal came. I'm thinking, wow, goodness me, 6 hours it were read. Can you imagine that in a church, reading it for 6 hours? And the people listened to every word. And then they all stood and they kind of agreed with it. And so what they were doing is they agreed with Scripture, what were read. And folks, sometimes you and I, we read it, we forget it, we try and understand it, we try and memorize it. But it's got to become part of our life. Because unless we do that, unless you and I really move on, and I really believe I think we're on a great journey, and I'm just encouraging us tonight as I'm encouraging me, is to, when God speaks, I need to leave my comfort zone and step into where he's calling me to be and to do. Because we all get comfy here. We all get comfy, and the Holy Spirit is nudging and speaking. And it might not be something big, it might be something small, it doesn't really matter. He's the God of revelation. There's two things: hassle, tribulation, troubles, just like with Nehemiah, they change you and I. Moses, listening to God, this was too much hassle for him. This was really stretching. I don't want to do this. I can't speak. I can't do it. And God said, but I'm going to be with you. I will strengthen you. And there's so many things, folks, today that really, how can I put it, dictate our choices. It could be upbringing, it could be culture, it could be family, it could be background. Some of it can be good, some of it can be bad. And some things God just doesn't accept. Because, you know, some of them things that have really kind of squashed us, and he's releasing us by faith and through his word. So Nehemiah, Peter, just stepping out and really trusting God. So renewal within us is responding to Scripture, just as it is. In a church not too long ago, maybe only a few years ago, they'd been studying Nehemiah, and then they sung, "The Spirit of the Living God fall afresh on me." And God had moved in that church so much that they only sung it once. Usually it's sung a few times, but they only sung it once. No tongues, no prophecy, but people were confessing and repenting all over the church to one another, as it talks about in James. I've been really challenged by just the title, getting out of my comfort zone and stepping into God's comfort zone, and looking at the life of Peter and obeying the Lord when he didn't really understand, and looking at Nehemiah and being moved by God deep within. And I want to just read in closing. This is from a book called Dangerous Wonder. This reading transformed a friend's life, a pastor, as he read some of these words. He actually went to a meeting, and a lovely guy called Jim Graham, who I'm sure many of us have heard of, or even some of us have met. But quite a while ago, he went to hear a man speak. And even though at that time he didn't believe in the prophetic word, he knew that when this guy was speaking, that God had planted something within him. To him, to Jim, sat in this kind of place, he just knew that God had nailed him. And he changed his whole life and thinking and ministry and everything. And this is what this guy said. He said, "This is what God is saying to some of you. For such a long time I have stood aside and I've watched you fulfill your ministry. But now I want you to stand aside and watch me fulfill my ministry through you." And Jim Graham said, "That absolutely was me." Been a pastor for years. He'd been working in his own strength. People loved him. But that prophetic word, he said, "I don't know how that guy spoke, but to me, God just nailed me." And he got to that place of full surrender. He says that my comfort zones are gone. And he said there were two consequences of that meeting with God. He says, number one, he didn't have to do God's work in his own strength anymore. Number two, God put a new exhilaration into his life with a new vibrancy. And I know that Gold Hill Baptist Church, when Jim was pastor there, received much, much blessing. And that church, as a result of that, they stepped out of their comfort zone. They were involved in other countries. They were involved in their community. God began to speak to them. And it all started from this prophetic word that Jim's life was totally changed as a leader. It says, because before he was comfortable. And God moved him. And in this book, see, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I'm going to be really, really honest about living for God full on. I don't know about you, but I don't want a comfort zone. I don't want to be meeting God in years to come or in days to come where he said, Pete, you never got out of there when I spoke to you. And we've got tremendous things to work on together. I never, ever want to be in that place. But I love this, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to close. The most dangerous thing facing Christians isn't abortion or pornography or drugs or racism or sexuality. The biggest issue of today's church is dullness. We've lost our astonishment. It's not good news, it's just okay news. Christianity is no longer life-changing, it's life-enhancing. Jesus doesn't change people into wild radicals anymore, but changes them into nice people. And if Christianity is simply about being nice, then I'm not interested. What has happened to real Christianity, the kind that turned the world upside down? Where is the power of the gospel that spread through the past centuries like wildfire and was considered by those in power to be dangerous? What happened to the kind of Christians whose hearts were set on fire, who had no fear, who spoke the truth no matter what the consequence was, who were willing to follow Jesus wherever he went? What happened to the kind of Christians who were filled with the Holy Spirit and passion and gratitude and who every day was unable to get over the grace of God? I'm ready for a Christianity that ruins my life, that captures my heart and makes me uncomfortable. I want to be filled with an astonishment which is so captivating that I'm considered wild and unpredictable as well as dangerous. Yet I want to be dangerous to a dull and boring religion. I want a faith that's considered dangerous by our predictable and monotonous culture. Talk about being moved. That moved me when I read that. Folks, I don't want a comfort zone. I want to hear God. And even when it seems wild and wacky and, Pete, that's far too stretching. I remember years ago when God started this in my life. Pete, why on earth do you want to go to Scotland? I don't want to go to Scotland. I'm just obeying God. We're going to go off to Bible college. Bible college? You were rubbish at school. Why on earth do you want to study again? I says, I just know it's right. And all that God spoke. And folks, we know what it's like when God begins to speak to us. And he kind of makes things clear and he builds faith in us. It's just terrific. But it is so hard, isn't it, to get out of that comfort zone and just let God be God in our life. I wrote something down just in closing. If we went out with Jesus tomorrow, if he were here, what would he be doing? What would he be saying? Who would he visit? Who would he hang out with? Who would he spend time with? So maybe tonight is to give ourselves to him just in a new way. That when he begins to speak to us, just like he did to Peter. Peter, I know you've been fishing all night. I know you've been doing this all your life. But just go out now, middle of the morning. Go and cast it into the deep. Because that's where you're going to find it. Wow. Let's just pray. Lord, we want to be so open and honest with you tonight, Lord. We don't want to be trapped in our comfort zones. Lord, we just want to be obedient to you. And we pray that, like with Nehemiah, that you would move deep within us. And would you call us, Lord, into doing things a bit bigger than us? Even, Lord, if we don't like people around, and to ask a neighbour around for a meal or to talk to someone that we don't really get on with at work. Just them things, Lord, that just to get us out of our comfort zone. Help us to be like Peter, Lord, to really act upon you speaking to us through your word. Lord, make us radical after you. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord, whatever you're calling us to do. Not to make up excuses, Lord, to say, well, I don't think that's you, God. So we pray that you'd move deep within us. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we read, but we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that you never change. So move in us, Lord, and take us outside of our comfort zone. Do great things here, we pray, for the glory of your name. Amen.